So thank you, Brother Chris, and thank you, choir, congregation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7. As we look at the story in the Scriptures of the two debtors, Luke chapter 7. Tremendous story for you and I today about love and forgiveness and all that that entails. Luke chapter 7. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. God's word says, "And one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man,'" talking about Jesus, "'if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon,'" who is a Pharisee, "'I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' And then Jesus said, 'There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Jesus says, 'Tell me, therefore,'" speaking to Simon, "'which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Have you ever raised your standard or lowered your standard of life or of living or of just you know, the day-to-day actions? You know, your standard is kind of what we choose to live or how we choose to live, our standard of living. Some people's bar is real low. They just don't really care how they live, and yet others, their bar is high. They care what other people think of their family and reputation and perhaps what God thinks and other things. So their standard would be high. You know, I don't set out to lower my standard every day, but sometimes life throws me a surprise. And when it does, you know, I'm guilty of perhaps doing something I shouldn't do or thinking something I shouldn't think or saying something I shouldn't say. I saw a little slide, and I don't know if you can read that. It says, "Life is like baseball. A great hitter is only successful 3 out of every 10 times. So that means 7 times you fail. Life is like baseball. It's set up for you to fail, obviously because of Adam and Eve's sin. But it's not about how you fail or why you fail, but how you're able to bounce back from that failure to get those three hits to be a great player. So God knows that we're going to fail most of the time. That's why we need Him. That's why we trust Him and we love Him and we serve Him. And so that's very, very fitting. In our story today, Jesus accepts an invitation to eat at a Pharisee's house named Simon. He was proud and arrogant. We see that just from how he acted in the story. And I don't really know the setting. You know, the door was wide open. It's, you know, right there on the street perhaps. But a woman, prostitute woman perhaps, notices Jesus go into this house. So she goes in as well. And she brings an alabaster container with perfume or oil, like oil. And she begins to weep and washes Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. She kisses his feet and she rubs his feet with oil, which was very customary, which was common, very common. We would think that would be strange today, but in first century Israel, it was very, very common. And so it was very honoring and respectful to do something like this. So she kisses his feet and rubs the oil on them. Simon the Pharisee didn't say it out loud, but he said it within his heart, and Jesus knew what he said, because Jesus knows everything. And so he thought, Simon thought, how could Jesus be a prophet if he would allow this woman who is a prostitute to be touching him? And so Jesus begins to share this story of a parable or a real life story of two debtors to help this Pharisee see that he's thinking the wrong way, that he's looking at things the wrong way. He's seeing life the wrong way. One debtor, Jesus says, owed about $25,000, and the other debtor owed about $5,000. So pretty good difference. $25,000, somebody owed, another person owed $5,000. And Jesus says, the man who they owed the money to forgave them both. And then Jesus challenges Simon the Pharisee with a question. And so this morning I want to dive into that question. Which one is loved the most? The one that was forgiven $25,000, the one that was forgiven $5,000? Which one is loved the most? Which one, you know, which one's forgiven the most by the creditor? Well, by Jesus' standards, the Lord Jesus, a holy and righteous God that we serve, he wanted the Pharisee to know again just a few things, and I want to touch on them. He wanted him to know, first of all, that all sin is equal. It's easy for you and I to say, I don't murder, I don't rape, I don't do that. But yet we still sometimes say something with our tongue we shouldn't say, or we think something we shouldn't think, or we allow ourselves to watch something on TV we shouldn't watch, or whatever we may be doing. And so we want to parse and, you know, delineate. This is not as bad as what they did, or what she's doing, or what he did. And I think God wants the Pharisee to know that all sin, whether it's prostitution, whether it's gossip, whether it's legalism, whatever it is, all sin, in God's eyes, is still sin. It's equal. You know, if I only committed one sin in this world, that's going to send me to hell. And the Bible says, I'm born a sinner going to hell. And so that's why I have to have Jesus, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You know, to Simon the Pharisee, this woman was unforgivable. What she does, how she lives her life, she was unforgivable. Her sin was worse. In verse 47, though, the Lord Jesus says, she may have more sins, but she loves me more. Isn't that beautiful? You know, those of you that have had a rough life maybe and been through hell on earth in some ways, you live life a little differently than those who've just kind of had it real easy. There's some people that are just kind of, seems like they're born on third base. They were born with a silver spoon and life went real easy. And then there's others who struggled and really it was difficult, very difficult. And sometimes the most peaceful and the most gentle-spirited people that you will encounter, maybe it's your grandparent, maybe it's someone else in your life that you know of. Maybe it's, and oftentimes it's because they've endured the most hardship. They've been through the most. They've put up with the most. They've dealt with much, much more than the average person. The Bible says, just teaches us throughout the whole entirety of Scripture that a lie is a sin, a proud look is a sin, an angry moment without just cause is a sin. And by the standards of the Lord Jesus, sin is sin. All sin is equal. Now, there are different consequences. You've heard the phrase before. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose the consequences. So somebody actually stabbing someone in the back with a knife will have a different consequence than saying something where not literally, but you figuratively stab them in the back. Won't have as much, perhaps, consequence, as doing it with your tongue, but still, in God's eyes, it still equates to sin. Now, my standard, or our standard, would say, again, I'm better than that crooked politician. And we've got some crooked politicians in this world, don't we? Our standard would say that. In our flesh, we would say that. And actually, in our flesh, we'd probably be right. But if we look at it from a spiritual realm, from God's viewpoint, then we have to see it a little differently. You've heard of Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, haven't you? It's the plank eye disease verse. Where Jesus said, you hypocrite, first take the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You can't really see that real clear, but it's a person with a board, essentially a piece of wood coming out of his eye. The plank eye disease verse. So by Jesus' standards, he wanted the Pharisee to know that sin is sin, and so we have to stay away, do the best we can to stay from all of it and to trust God and when we do sin, to ask forgiveness of God because we need him. Second thing I think he wanted the Pharisee to know today was that love is tied to forgiveness. Love is tied to forgiveness. In verse 47b, a second part of 47, Jesus says, you love little because you forgive little. In other words, our love, Jesus is saying, is proportionate to our forgiveness. Our love is proportionate. You find someone that don't love very much, they're not going to be very forgiving if you do something wrong to them. You can just you can bank on it. If they're ornery and arrogant and agitated all the time, they're not loving, you get on their bad side. You're going to stay on their bad side. It's going to be very hard to get off because they're not very forgiving either. It goes hand in hand. You find someone that's very forgiving. Some people say they're doormats, but there are, sometimes we should forgive. And so what if we look like a doormat at times? If we feel like God's saying forgive them, we need to forgive them. But you find someone that's very forgiving, they're probably going to be also very loving. And those things are beautiful because they're representations of what the Lord Jesus was all about. He was very loving, very forgiving. He loved this prostitute. He loved the Pharisee, but the Pharisee was not very loving. The Pharisee was not very forgiving. Obviously, this woman was. She was weeping when she came. She was broken. If we forgive little, we love little. If we love little, we forgive little. It's real simple. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 regarding love and forgiveness. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we have to do this daily, don't we? We have to ask ourselves daily, Lord, is there someone I haven't forgiven? It may be a childhood friend that we forgot about 20 years ago or 30 years ago or more. And if God brings that up to your mind, you say, God, forgive me. And if you have the opportunity to call them or send them a little letter saying, I'm sorry that I harbored, whatever happened, but I just want you to ask for your forgiveness. You know, you do what God's leading you to do. Because Matthew chapter 6 clearly tells us that we should do that. Luke chapter 17 is another verse. I hope you can see it. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So you tell him, you hurt me, brother. What you did wasn't right. I didn't do everything that was right either, but I'm sorry. And if he repents, forgive him. Don't just say, I'm not going to forgive you because you hurt me so bad. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, Jesus says, the scriptures say, what? Forgive him. Very clear. Forgiveness is tied to love, and love is tied to forgiveness. Very clear what the Lord Jesus is trying to say to Simon the Pharisee. The woman seemed to have it right. It's Simon who doesn't. And then Colossians chapter 3, very familiar verse probably as well. Bear with each other. So your translation may say, put up with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Forgiveness, love, forgiveness. In many, many places in the scriptures, it goes hand in hand because it is. It's tied together. And so you find someone who's loving, you're going to find the same person who's forgiving, and vice versa. That brings me to my third, final point. By Jesus' standards, he wanted the Pharisee to know that the prostitute was more righteous. He was more pleasing. He pleased him more than the Pharisee did. Even though the Pharisee had memorized the law and knew the scriptures and all of that they had that day, Simon gave Jesus no courtesy things that should have been given. When you invite someone in your home in first century Israel, you give them water for their feet. You give them a holy kiss, you could say. You give them a greeting kiss on the cheek. You anoint their head with oil if possible. All of these things Simon should have done. But he done none of them. However, the prostitute did them all. She wept. She washed. She did it all. She did it with her hair. Did it with a fragrant oil. She was willing to do whatever it took at that moment to please the Lord Jesus. There's many people in our history that's done that. I just wanted to mention one tonight, today. A very familiar person. Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael. Elizabeth Elliot wrote about Amy Carmichael. She said that she had a great longing. Her great longing was to have a single eye for the glory of God. As you know, she was a missionary to India, and she spent more than 50 years of her life in that country. She founded an orphanage in that area, and her life in ministry was about all of that. She has many biographies and other things to read, and she has been a tremendous example for generations of Christian missionaries. Before India became her home, though, she spent years working in the mills with mill girls in England. But it was a speech from a man named Hudson Taylor, a missionary of his own in 1887, that changed her path to become a missionary. And eventually she ended up in India. And again, she spent years rescuing young women from temple prostitution. And eventually they added boys to the mission because these women were having boys, or having children, and or born from temple prostitutes. And so she often would even dress up in the local dress, obviously. She would even darken her skin somewhat with coffee to try to fit in, to try to reach those people, to allow those workers to come to her and feel comfortable around her. When asked what missionary life was like, she responded, "Missionary life, check this out, missionary life is a chance to die," is what she said. Her legacy lives on in India with a mission where she founded is still going on, and they serve more than 500 children, as far as I'm aware of, in the area of where she founded that mission. So she is just one of the many that reminds us that you and I, God wants us to be pleasing to Him. And I know without faith, it's impossible to please God. And this lady showed the faith. She was convicted by the Spirit and she showed faith. So what do we get from this whole story? Let me give you just a few little things. This story reminds us that those who have been forgiven much are more likely to love much. And the Lord is willing to forgive regardless of whatever we have done or anyone has done. No matter the seriousness of the sin, God wants to forgive. With a greater love, there's going to be greater motivation for forgiveness. Forgiveness is an absolute commandment. We saw some of the verses. And people who are hard-hearted are not probably going to be loving or forgiving very much. So, final question, and I'm through. Which one do you feel like you've been like recently, or today, or this week? Simon, the Pharisee, or like this prostitute woman who Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace." Let's pray. Father, we know that all of us fall short each day and each week. And so, Lord, that's why we need you. That's why we trust you. That's why we come and assemble together around your holy word and fellowship with one another. And so, Lord, just remind us that you're God and we're just your creation, and we're always in a desperately needing your forgiveness and your mercy. And so, Father, may we show that mercy and forgiveness. May we show that love to those around us who are not very loving, who are not very forgiving. Lord, help us, Father, to be patient, to be long-suffering, to be like you. As you work in us, as you prune us, as you continue to do the work that you started in us, and you're going to finish one day, Lord, when we see you face to face. Lord, if there's one today, they may have made a little prayer, said a little prayer one day, or went through a little exercise and was baptized, but there's never truly been a heart change. They've never had a heart transplant from you, Lord. They've got the same old nasty heart. They don't think about spiritual things. They don't think about how wonderful you are, and how they don't love you any more than they did before or didn't before. Sin doesn't affect them just like it never has. Lord, if there's one like that today, may that person let you reveal to them that they need a new heart. They need to trust you and follow you all the days of their life, wherever that leads them, whether it leads them to another state or whether it leads them like Amy Carmichael to India. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.